Wonderful piano. Thank you. Praise God. The name of the message today is called Anchor of Hope. Anchor of Hope. Who is that anchor of hope? Who is that anchor to you in your life? Jesus Christ. He said that he would never leave nor forsake you. Jesus, the one who paid it all, the one who made you and he made me, came that we might live. He died on the cross that we might live. That is the only hope that I could ever want, because he is the one true God who has the power either to save your soul or to cast your soul into hell. We know that when you go into a storm on a boat, the best way to survive is to make sure the bow or the head, the front part of that ship, is going into the waves. Towards the waves, towards the storm. The best way to survive. Circumstances may arise where the ship becomes endangered, where you can't rely no more on the captain of the ship. You can't rely on the engines. You can't rely on the sailors. You can't rely on the sails, perhaps, if it's a sailboat. But you can always rely on one thing, the anchor. You can always rely on the anchor. And truly, there are even more anchors, several anchors. Actually, I'm thinking about four right now that we need in our own lives. That one anchor is called a vision, for without a vision, my people perish, saith the Lord. Number two, knowing the voice of God. Number three, abiding upon the rock of salvation. And number four, faith and hope. According to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says here, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Praise God. We know that this world today is battling us every day. It's robbing us. If we give ear to it, if we listen to it, if we look upon it, if we seek out the things of this world, there is no peace and hope in that. Because it's only things. Money can't help you. Friends can't help you. Family can't really help you. They're there for you. Many times they can be there for comfort. But on your dying day, are they going to be there? What is your hope going to be in on that day? Where will your hope be? And will you be anchored in the Great One, the One who is the great anchor, Jesus Christ? Will your life be anchored in the harbor of heaven? Psalm 39, if you would go there. Go to Psalm 39, verse 6 and 8. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely there are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. You see, according to Luke 12:15, Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. So you see today, all over the world, all over this country runs on covetousness. This country runs on greed. This country runs on people just looking to make another dollar, even if they have to walk on your back to get it. Even if they have to entreat you to the dark alley whereby you lose your wallet, maybe you get a stick of a knife in the back or a cutthroat or you know, you're down on the ground for the count. Who knows? But only God knows. He's well able to keep you and he's well able to keep me through it all. Doesn't matter what we go through in life, as long as we have that great hope in Jesus Christ. In verse 7, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee." What are you waiting for? What am I waiting for? For the world and the things of this world are full of vanity. The worldly honor and riches, they come to nothing. They are soon forgotten. I don't really think much. You know, I see people, they've got plaques on the wall and they've got honors and trophies and this and that, but who really cares? When you think about it, who really thinks about all that? Isn't the things in your own life a little more important than some trophy on someone's wall? Some plaque somewhere? Some engraving on a stone or some other honor that man has bestowed upon another? How fruitless is it when you see preachers, pastors, clergymen passing honor around one to another? You know, instead of giving honor and glory to God, they'll sit there and they'll cover their coattails, grease it up with all sorts of passing glory one to another. But you have to ask yourself, what are their motives for doing that? What is a person's motive for wanting to do that? Just be real. Just be at peace with God and be at peace with one another. The Lord knows how to make things all come together. We don't have to sit there and try to butter ourselves up with the mayor of the county or the mayor of the city or the police chief. Or we don't have to sit there and try to garner favor and special treatment from someone who might be high up, because you see, truly, their soul weighs in the balance just like yours and mine. They put their pants on just like you and me. That's not where my hope is. It's not in some favor. It's not in money. It's not in what someone can do for me. But I know that my hope is anchored in the only one true God who is able to move mountains for me. He's gotten me through many things in life, trials and tribulations of every kind. And I must say that he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. Truly he is. In number, verse 8, "Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish." Who are the foolish? Oh boy. Who are the foolish? Those that are prideful and arrogant. They scoff at you and they scoff at me for having a desire to serve God. But they show their folly, don't they? Anyone who does such a thing will show their folly quickly. But you don't look at them with contempt. Actually, I feel sorry for them. Actually, I find myself praying for them, because truly they need help. They too need hope. People usually scoff and make fun of you because they don't understand you. People usually scoff and lie and will throw and hurl hatred bombs at you because they don't understand who you are. They don't understand your relationship with God. They don't understand anything at all other than what they know. And oftentimes that's not enough. The only hope you and I have is what we have anchored in Jesus. The only thing that's good in me or that is good in you is what Jesus has done on the cross and what he is still yet doing in your life, making and molding you, making you that perfect specimen of a man or a woman of God. The Lord is well able. He's well able to take you and make you that person. Truly, you are unique. Each and every person here. And don't ever forget that. Yet, we are not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Yet we know there was the one great God who was meek and lowly. And he said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Learn of me. We are to be likewise as such. 1 Peter chapter 1, 21. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. In which cause came Jesus. He is the hope of all glory. Amen. Praise God. The name of the message is, again, Anchor of Hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I do read from the King James Bible. The King James Version is all I ever care to read. And I just love the way it's written. I love the poetic flow of this wonderful, amazing roadmap to heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19 reads, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. What this is inferring to was that there is no hope outside of everlasting life. If we have hope only now, in the here and now, what good does that do for me if yet when I die there is no hope for everlasting life? That is what we are all shooting for. That is our goal. Our goal is to make it into heaven, that our names be written down in the book of life. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. You see, Jesus truly arose from the dead as the first fruits of those who sleep in Christ. Verse 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 through 3, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of our God, our Savior, and our Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. All hope of eternal life is built on the Lord. It's not built on what we do with our money, our jobs, our influence, our friends. All of that will be forgotten. Yet everything that we do will be accounted for. Everything that we do and say will be written down in the annals of heaven. It will be all recorded. None of it will be lost. Verse 2. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. See, and I just want to make mention that Timothy, I believe, was the first converted by Paul. When Paul became a Christian, Timothy was one of the first that was converted under him. And in verse 3 it says here, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some, that they teach no other doctrine. So Timothy was ordained as an overseer over many churches. Acts 26, 6-7. Go there if you would. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. Did you see that? It says here, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. See, Paul was persecuted. He preached the promise against ceremonial law. He preached against ceremonial law, while his persecutors stuck to the law against the promise. Did you know that? Verse 7, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jesus. They lived outside of the promise of hope. Did you see that? Unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews, it said. They only had the form of power based on the ceremonial law that they possessed. That is what enraged them against Paul, because Paul worked by the grace of God, not by the law. If you go to Psalm 33:18-22, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. What is that mercy? Oh boy. You remember the flood, don't you? And how that the flood destroyed all mankind. And how that in Revelation chapter 4, John had that vision of the great rainbow around the throne. You see, the throne is a work of might and power. God, who through his might and power will judge the works of mankind. But yet he is surrounded by that loving grace and mercy, giving us great hope. The rainbow round about the throne, showing us that through much grace and mercy, he will not destroy the world with the flood anymore. He is reminded of that mercy that he will show us. Psalm 19, verse 19. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. You see, his eye of favor is upon them that fear him. Praise God. Verse 20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. See, the Lord is able and willing to deliver your soul from death, from the ravening wolves round about, looking to destroy you in some way or other. You know, you've had incidences in your own life when you've had people attack you, when you've had people come against you somehow, some way, try to destroy your character, try to destroy who you are as a person, try to destroy your job situation, your finances, your family. But God knows all of this. He sees everything. He sees it all. Verse 21, For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. When you trust in God, you also hope in his mercy. Let's go to 22, verse 22. It says here, let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. So what that is according to the hope of his promise, we have faith in the spirit of his grace. If we go to Romans chapter 15, 13. Romans 15. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, the Lord's quickening shows us who the object and the author is of our hope. It is Jesus Christ. He quickens us through the Holy Ghost. He sent the Holy Ghost that we might see, be comforted, edified, encouraged, strengthened. The Holy Ghost will do all of those kinds of things in your life. That was the very purpose of his coming, so that he could lead us home one day. He could quicken us. He could help us to be of great comfort in our great time of distress and need. And you've been there before. I'm sure you have. I know I have. And I've been places that no one knows about. I've been places and I've been through things that no one knows anything about, even now. I just haven't spoken about it. But I know there are many times when I've been in these tough situations, how that the Lord and through the Holy Ghost would quicken me, remind me of Scripture. He would say things in my spirit and it would come to pass. He would show me things and it would happen before I even knew it was going to happen. But the Lord revealed things to me. And he'll do the same for you. Because you truly are special to him too. I'm no better than you in any way. Galatians chapter 5, 4 through 6. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. See, they renounced the way of hope found through grace and of God's Spirit. Those people who have done that, they renounced that. They renounced that grace. We don't ever want to go there, do we? Verse 5. For we hope through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And in verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You see, faith joins us to the great hope of glory. Faith will bring us to the throne of God. Faith will help us. It shows us the way of hope when we have faith. And when we have hope, we have faith. When we have faith, we have hope. So what do you do to obtain hope? How do we obtain hope? Well, it is given to us by the grace of God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. See, the love of God is a spring fountain of all good that we could ever hope for. The love of God is a spring and fountain of all that we could ever hope to have. Psalms 119:81. How do we obtain hope? Also through the Word of God. For my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. You see, he longs for salvation according to to his word. David, amid all those calamities that he went through in life, through those doubts and fears and all through the calamities of life, yet he hoped in God's word. And how else? It's through patience and comfort of Scripture. The patience and comfort that we find through Scripture. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You see, the Lord wrote those for us, that we might have hope, that we might gain faith and strength, so that we could pick up the Word of God anywhere, any time of the day or night, and look into the treasures from the heaven, from heaven. The treasures written from the Spirit of God, who is all knowledge. You can't even begin to have a sliver of understanding of the grace and mercy and hope found in God. We don't even know in our finite minds what it really means to have true hope, true faith. But what we do know is what we go through in this life. We don't understand much, but we do know that there is one who can save us from it. If you go to the gospel, that too, in Colossians chapter 1, 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Amen. So what it says here is the more we fix our hopes on heaven, the weight of this world loses its grip on us. Amen. And we also obtain hope through faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, in Romans chapter 5, 1 through 2. Romans 5, 1 through 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But whom also we have access by faith, unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Wow. I mean, to me, that's exciting. Those that have access by faith and to the grace of God also have that hope. Amen. Hope, too, is a result, a direct result of experience in life. You've all had experiences, I know I have, that teaches us things, that teaches us how to have hope and faith and patience. In verse 3, Romans 5, 3 through 5, it says here, and do not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Have you ever gloried in tribulations? Any of you? Anyone online? Have you gloried in tribulations and trials? It's a tough thing to do, isn't it? But you have to get to that place where you understand the purpose behind tribulations. You get to that place where you realize that when that happens to you in your life, that God means it for good. The devil means it for evil. But the Lord Jesus Christ means it for good, for your good, for your purpose, for your edification, so that one day you can help someone in need who has gone through it. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You see, hope does not disappoint. Because of hope, we have experience. Because of experience, we have hope. Because we go through these things in life, that garners experience, which garners patience and faith. Therefore, we have hope to know that God, Jesus, working in our lives, in your life, will get us through it. He knows how to get us through. tough situations. I don't know about you, but I've been on slippery roads before. I've been on roads that I didn't think I'd ever get off alive. And the Lord somehow brought me through the tangled web and mess of all these things that were happening in my life. And I can say that there were times that even physically on the road, was I was driving, my car, for example, would hit black ice out in northern Minnesota. And I remember how that many times, and I would be driving, and one time in particular, my car hit a spot of black ice, and I never knew it was there. You never knew it was there. You couldn't even see it on the road. And before I knew it, I was in a tailspin. And my car was doing this. And I was going round and round and round. And I was doing everything in me to right that ship, to turn that car. I was almost had it going right. And then all of a sudden, boom, bang, it hit the back end of my car, hit the middle wall, the partition of the freeway there, going over the bridge. And wow, that was a scary moment, but God brought me through it. The Lord Jesus Christ knows how to do this very same thing in your personal life. We'll make mistakes, we'll fall. We fall short of God's glory, don't we? Everyone does. No one's exempt. But yet the Lord knows how to deliver you. He knows how to anchor your soul. He knows how to anchor your loved ones, whether you believe it or not. And if you go to Hebrews chapter 7, 19. Hebrews 7, 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of the better hope did. But by which we draw nigh unto God. Who was that better hope? Jesus Christ. Who was that better hope? The one who pardoned our sins and gave us salvation. Who is that hope but the one who died on the cross and shed his blood that we might be healed, and that our wounds would be healed, and that our bruises would be healed, and that we could claim salvation, we could claim healing, we could claim all of these things by the grace and hope of God, the hope of all glory. You know, we read many things in the newspapers today, or newspapers or internet or radio or what have you. And there are many issues and problems out there, isn't there? I wrote down a few things, and I basically had to write them down because I could hardly believe what I was reading. But I just want to read a few things to you about a world that does not have hope. About a world that does not understand peace and hope, faith. Because they're out there doing their own thing, lost in their own nothingness, lost in their own private escapes, lost in their own understanding of what they think life is. Police brutality in Dayton, Ohio, for example. I wrote down here, police claim to mistake speech impediment as disrespect by a 17-year-old teenager who was mentally handicapped. The little kid was riding his bicycle, mentally handicapped. And this police officer stopped this young 17-year-old, knowing who he was, knowing that he had a speech impediment. And he used that as an excuse to taser him in the back, to say that this kid was showing disrespect to me. They handcuffed him, hogtied him, threw him in the back of their police vehicle. As he was trying to struggle, they repeatedly beat him with their closed fists. These are the kinds of things these criminal thugs who wear uniforms are doing all over the country, not only here in this country, but all over the world. That's what this world is coming to. And they called up 20 officers to back up this little mentally handicapped teenager, 17-year-old, who tried to ride his bike home to ask his mom how to communicate better with these police officers. And as they were beating him, he said, "Please, please stop. Please stop." He was innocent, and they hurt him beyond. In the U.S., there is no more automatic rights to a lower or to a lawyer in civil U.S. civil cases. In other words, you no longer really have any real rights when it comes to needing a lawyer in a U.S. civil case. It's no more automatic. The government developed a hackers for kids, a school of hackers for kids and children hacking into your computer, into my computer. Fluoride was found to cause brain damage. It is the latest report out right now. People like Fareed Zachariah are calling for the destruction of our Constitution. That's been going on for years. People in our own government have been calling for the destruction of the Constitution. FBI seizes servers and knocks out major websites. The wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan have cost American taxpayers almost $4 trillion plus. Another $1 trillion to be paid in interest alone. I'm sure those figures are much higher. Only 8 jobs are created for every $1 million spent in the defense industry. No surprise there, is there? In Japan, workers engaged in repair of Fukushima reactor discovered 15 tons of radioactive water have leaked into the ground. TSA forced a 95-year-old cancer patient in a wheelchair to remove her adult diaper so they could perform an intrusive pat-down. These are the kinds of outrages that are happening from A to Z all over the country all the time. These are just things happening all over the world all the time. Outrage after outrage. Strange event after strange event. Situation after situation. We know that we live in a world where there is no hope outside of Jesus Christ. For when we have hope in Jesus, it does not matter how bad it gets out there, even though that will still test our faith. We still live in this world and we still breathe its air. Borrowed breath, by the way. But yet, we hope in Christ. Job chapter 8, 13. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. You see, all of those people out there who are doing these kinds of things, they stand on the slippery slopes of eternity that lead straight to hell unless they too repent. Because truly without repentance there is no hope. There is truly no hope without repentance. Job chapter 11, 20. But the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape. And their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. You see, when a wicked man or woman dies, so do their hopes perish along with them. When they're not ready, when they have lived a life and they die unprepared, oh, 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 boy. There is no greater catastrophe in all the world, in all the universe, throughout all time. There is no greater destruction than that. Than the destruction of a soul who was left this world unprepared to meet a holy God. Who have spent their lifetime ignoring God. Who spent a lifetime making excuses as to why they shouldn't serve God or why they couldn't or why they wouldn't. These are people without hope. Job 27:8. For what is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he hath gained when God taketh away his soul. In other words, you can gain the whole world and lose your own soul. What point and what purpose is that to there? For you or for me to gain the whole world and to lose our soul. Wow. I'm sorry, but I don't see the point. I don't see the purpose in wanting to gain more money or influence for a short period of time at the cost of my own soul. I don't understand people like that. Why they don't have the insight or the foresight. To see that, to see beyond their nose. Proverbs chapter 10, 28. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. You see, wickedness shortens and frustrates the life of the wicked. The wicked truly do have no hope at all. If they refuse to repent, if they refuse the mercy of God, the peace of God that He offers to both you and me, oh boy, there's no hope then on Judgment Day for that person. Because then they would have had their chance, but then they scoffed and they walked and trampled on the blood of Christ. Matthew chapter 28, verse 48 through 51. But you see, many will betray you and persecute you. Many will seek to destroy your life and think it's a good thing. Many will think that they're going to do a thing to you and they think that they're doing it on because God wanted them to. It says here, Matthew 24, verse 48. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming. Oh boy. And this comes too from so-called Christians. Verse 49. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. Well, before I go on, I just want to say that those are what you would call hypocrites. These are pretenders. These are clouds without rain. These are people who were in your midst as weeds. People who were pretenders and they didn't come to the full knowledge of truth and grace and hope and repentance through the cross of Calvary. No, 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 no. They lied. They lied to themselves and they lied to you and me. Verse 50, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, I just want you to think about that for a minute. Imagine what that would be like to go into eternity, into the furnace of eternity, into the unquenchable fires of hell, into the furnace that has no mercy, that knows no mercy, that understands no mercy. And this I'm talking about is for all eternity, eternity upon eternity. upon eternity. No rest, no hope. That, to me, is worth looking at a second time. But for many people, they may not have a second chance. And if you go there, you don't have a second chance. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, 4, and 5. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, for they have the form, you see. They think in their own thoughts and hearts that they are doing right and good, that they can do things on their own. They have their own ideas, their own understanding. And that's okay because, you know, I'm good, you're okay, I'm okay, we're all just one big happy family, right? Verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. You see, these are the reckless hearts out there that don't count the cost of their words. They don't weigh their words or their actions, and they take all this for granted, and they think that, okay, well, where is the Lord? Yet he hasn't returned, and all these things are happening, and he's still not here, and where is he? I think I'm just going to go out to the bar. I'm going to go out to the saloon. I'm going to go party with a bunch of people on the boat. I'm going to go to the lake and crack a keg. I'm going to go do this or that, or we're going to just have a good old time, and the Lord's not coming back. I'm not going to die, and I'm okay. You're okay. Verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. What that means right there in verse 5, it's talking about the judgment of the past, of the flood. It's talking about those scoffers who never made it back then, who in the days of Noah scoffed, and they were destroyed by the flood. In the water, it says here. Out of the water and in the water. And if you go to Titus chapter 2, you see, it's interesting how the Lord waited 4,000 years before he came. When he came, he was here for 33 years. But he left with a promise of coming again to receive his new bride without spot or wrinkle. And I want to ask you, are you covered in the shed blood of Christ? Titus chapter 2, 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, this denotes both time of accomplishing hope and the sureness and greatness of it. Verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You see, we're redeemed from sin. We're redeemed from the old life, from the old world, the old way of thinking. We're redeemed from the old Adam. We're redeemed from all that, from the scourge of penalty of sin. We're redeemed from that. And there is hope for those who put their faith, trust, confidence, and hopes in Jesus Christ. What he did on the cross for you, he did for me. Titus 2:15 says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. In other words, not only is he talking to me as someone who would preach or teach, he's talking to you too, that we are to press on, press in with great earnestness, to be a witness wherever we are. Ephesians chapter 4:4-6. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Did you see that? One Lord, one faith, one baptism. We have a baptism today. Going down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. One faith, one hope, one spirit, one body, one God, the Father of all. Praise God. Psalm 119:13-16. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of my mouth. You see, this was David. He was shown edifying others with what he has learned through all his trials, all his temptations, all his misgivings, all his faults and failures and fruitless endeavors. We too are to do the same thing for others. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. You see, David no longer held on to useless things and riches. His hope was now built on the riches of spiritual riches found in God. And it says here, verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. See, David was oftentimes reckless in his life, but yet he had a heart that was committed to God. Yet he had a heart that was after God's own heart. Because there was a one big difference between him and King Saul. King Saul didn't, his heart didn't seem to break and fall to pieces when he did wrong or when he knew he did wrong. He made excuses. That was the king that the people called for. Somebody tall and brilliant. But you see, the one that Jesus anointed, the one that God called, was David. A man after God's own heart who would lead the people like sheep, as a shepherd would lead. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Wow. You see, there are people that walk and talk and they're all worldly. But then there are those who are spiritual, who live in the precepts of God's word. They don't only talk about it, but they walk in it. They don't only walk in it, they live in it. That is the big difference. Hebrews 3:6. But Christ, as the Son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Amen. Wow. This is where the rubber meets the road. If we're able to persevere unto the end, don't give up. Colossians chapter 1:23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. You see, we are to preach redemption includes whosoever will listen, whosoever will hear, will come and to receive God's mercy and peace for their life. Psalm 71, chapter 71, verse 14, 15, and 16. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. You see, we're still talking about David. His fears are silenced. His hopes are raised. His prayers are turned into thanksgiving. In my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness, and thy salvation all the day. For I know not the numbers thereof. You see, only God can touch a man's heart like that. Verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. I remember in the mountains of New Mexico, way back years ago now, how that as the Lord delivered me out of that cult up in the mountains, how that when I was reading the Word of God, and it was a King James Bible, and I still have that Bible today, and I use it every morning when I read my in my devotions. And I remember very specifically the Lord speak to me and say, turn to Psalm 71. I went to Psalm 71 and my eyes fell to verse 16. And I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. This was at a time when I was asking God, dear God in heaven, I still wasn't quite sure what was going on and should I leave and should I not. Was I right or was I wrong in leaving and wanting to leave? And the Lord confirmed to me, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. In Psalm 72, 12 through 14, for he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. See, there are many days when your lives will be circled by ravening wolves, people looking to deceive you, to hurt you, to deal a blow in your life that you could never recover. People looking to do you harm, to do you hurt. But you know what? God hears their cries. He is the great one true God, the great deliverer. He shall spare the poor and needy and shall save the souls of the needy, it says. Verse 13. For when they cry with a great desperation, God will hear. God will hear your cry. Verse 14, he shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. Not a drop of their blood should be shed by deceit or violence without it being accounted for and then reckoned with. Did you know that? Verse 14 says, he shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. Not a drop of their blood will be unaccounted for. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 7 through 8. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet the hope of salvation. We all need that hope, every last one of us. We all need to find that rest and that peace, that hope that is found at the cross of Calvary. That hope is found when Jesus shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for you and me, that our sins would be washed away forever, that we would have that hope of eternity, that we would have that hope of salvation, that we would have that hope of being healed and helped in our time of great need, that when we cry out to God, he would hear our cries, he would hear our desire from the depths of our heart cry out, oh God, help my soul. Oh God, help my poor soul. I can do nothing else but pray to the Lord my God. I can do nothing else but stand on his promises. And the Lord gives us that kind of hope. Acts 24:15, and have hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. So truly there is a day coming when both the just and the unjust will stand before God and will have to give an account. In Titus chapter 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Wow. The intent of the gospel has always been to cultivate both faith and hope. Titus chapter 3, 7. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You see, the Spirit works faith in us. Colossians chapter 1, 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this ministry, or this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is that mystery? Wow. That mystery for you and me are the riches, the glory, and the hope of salvation found among the Gentiles, found among you and me, found among our relatives and friends, whosoever will reach out. 1 John 3:3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So we are sanctified by faith, but we must be sanctified also by hope, for it purifies us for eternity. 1 Peter chapter 3, 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Did you see that? Wow. I mean, you know, going through these verses when I was doing my study, I could hardly believe what I was finding. I could hardly believe all this, these wonderful verses, how they came together. Psalm chapter 137. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. You see, there's still room at the foot of the cross for you and me. For all those who don't know God, there's still room, there's still time, there's still breath. You still have time, but don't wait. Don't wait like those mockers and scoffers and say, he's not here yet, or he's not coming, and I should just go and do my own thing. Don't wait. Psalm chapter 146, 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Praise God. Finally, coming to the end, Hebrews chapter 6, 18 through 20. And this is where I got the name of my message, Anchor of Hope. This is where I got my title from. And it says here in verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Who is that refuge? Oh my. Who is that refuge for you and for me? Who has always been that refuge, even when you didn't know it? When you were sitting there in that car, in your driveway that one night, wondering what to do with your life, when you would sit there and in your chair and wonder whether or not it was worth it, when you would go for a walk along the beach or around the shed or barn or in the open field, wherever you were, you remember those moments. But God is the great high tower. He is the one, the great rock that we anchor our souls to. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. You see, we are like a great ship of the sea in danger of being cast away. But heaven is the harbor in which we sail. The gospel of hope is our anchor. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made as an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So who is the forerunner? Who is the great high priest? Who is the great one who is the anchor for your soul and my soul? None other None other, nor could there ever be another, than Jesus Christ. The only one true God that gives you and me the great hope that we have to make it. The only hope that we've ever had or we will ever need. The only hope worth looking at, worth contemplating. The only hope worth thinking about. The only hope worth looking at. The only hope, the one true hope, anchor of hope, who will lead you and me safely into the harbor of heaven if we will but look to Him, if we will but surrender, if we will but give our lives completely wholly unto the Lord Jesus, fully yielding our lives, every area of our lives, unto the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that He's the only one who can save us. He's the only one who we will stand before on that great judgment day. In the halls and corridors of time will we stand in that great judgment hall, where there'll be only standing room only, and every eye will behold, every soul will look, every man and woman and child who would be there will have to look at their own soul and wonder, am I and have I been prepared? Am I going to be on the right or the left? Am I going to be ready? Have I made myself white? Have I overcome by the blood of the Lamb? Have I given my life unto the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I ready? Have I prepared myself? Am I counted among the wise virgins who had oil in their lamps? Am I accounted worthy by giving my life to Jesus when I still yet had an opportunity? Am I there? Are you there? Are you ready? All those who are online, are you ready? We all need to be ready, because that day is coming sooner than you might ever realize. And it might be today. It might be tomorrow. It might be tonight. It might be at midnight, when nobody's aware, when nobody's looking, thinking. I just would ask that you put your hope in the only one who can anchor your soul from the storms of life, who can save you from yourself and from this world. In Jesus' name, why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we know that you are the one true God, and there was no God like unto thee anywhere at all. And we know, Lord, that you are the one true hope giver. You are the way maker. You are the only one, O God, that we can look to call upon, that we could give our lives, that we could go to as a refuge in a desert, O God, for you are the one true well of springing water, full of life, giving life to you, giving life to me, and giving life to all those who seek after thee, O God, giving life to all those who seek after hope, who seek after a purpose and a plan for themselves, who don't know what to do, where to go, or how to go about it. We thank you, O God, for you are the one who is able to lead all the lost sheep into the realm of the living. You are able, O God, to take each one by the hand, each individual who is uniquely set aside, O God, for your purpose, for your plans, for their life. That you have created each person in your own likeness, O God. Each person who is very special and unique. I pray, O God, that you will now reach and speak to people. Reach out to them, O Lord. Convict those who need to be convicted in their hearts. O God, that you would reach out to them and that they would cry out unto thee full of repentance, O God, and seeking for mercy and for hope. Seeking for answers for their lives, O God, because truly the day and the hour is late. The time is short. We're about to find that we will stand in the great judgment halls of heaven. And we will be there, and there will be no turning back. There will be no second chance. There will not be another opportunity. Because once we leave this earth, all other opportunities are gone. All other opportunities are no more. Because once we leave the realm of time, we enter into eternity. And time is up. And I pray, oh God, that the blood of Jesus would cover every person here, that you, by your precious Holy Ghost, would begin to quicken and convict, to speak to hearts all over, that they would too come to the cross and lay their hearts and their lives down before thee, bending their knees, both knees, bowing their hearts, and yielding themselves completely unto thee, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.